The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Blowing out of the backfield, exploding down the sideline.
This is Hanging with the Boys, presented by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Now, your hosts, Nate Newton, Kurt Daniels, Jesse Holley, and Shannon Gross.
Hump day!
Hump day!
Hopefully.
Bang, 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 bang!
There we go. Looking live at Tostitos Championship Plaza outside Ford Center at the Star of Frisco, Texas, where it is 48 degrees. It feels like 48. It's windy. The low is 39 degrees.
That is Shannon. He is Nate. We are out with my boy Kurt. Chris Beam is in the back keeping
come
us
see
up
us,
and
Nick.
Running. Yeah, come see us, Nick. We got an open spot. I am Zaddy Holly. Together we make Hanging with the Boys, the sports talk equivalent of Braille. People feel us when we speak.
I only go crazy when we win. It's been low key for 2 weeks now.
And in Miami, it's still 75 degrees.
Yes, it
and
is.
Fair. And the show is brought to you each and every day by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings.
Cook, we need 100 yards this week with the touchdown.
Tell you what, man.
The guests are rolling in. It's a big weekend.
It is a big week. So, Nate, what's today? Wednesday,
yes.
Thursday, Friday. We're going to need a Jimmy story each day the rest of the week. So think about it.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, my God. That's not a story that you hollering into the microphone. we're going to need a
Okay,
Jimmy
the story
story
for the day was Michael Irvin said, Nate, we got this guy coming in.
Oh, even better. Yeah, Michael
yeah.
Irvin
Michael
story.
Irvin said, yeah, we got this guy coming in. This once Coach Landry was sadly dismissed. Love you, Coach. Rest in peace. But anyway, he said, we got this guy coming in. He said, he's tough, Nate. He's hard, but he's fair. And I said, well, what is it so much that you so excited? He said, we're going to get rid of a lot of sorry. Mike was going off because he didn't like a lot of our teammates and the attitude that they had and just the way when we win or lose a game, how people handled it around him. He's like, this man don't play. We lose a game, it's going to be hell to pay. Oh, and Mike was excited. Not knowing the backstory that Mike had already given Coach Johnson a list of guys he needed to cut quick. Soon as he showed up, he had a list of guys he needed to cut. I'm like, well, damn. I'm being honest, like, well, damn, Mike, is I'm on the list. You're like, no, big fella, I looked that for you. But you're going to get it. But you're going to have to get in shape. You got to be in shape. We're going to run these 110s. I remember running 110s in college. Mm-hmm. And I never passed the test in college. So I'm like, this dude finna bring a dude in here. He telling him I'm going to be all right. And they got to run 110. 16 of them. In college, I thought it was 12. But in the pros, it's 16. So, hey, I'm just dreading this day. I'm dreading this day. And all I'm thinking about, I ain't heard a word Coach said. Hello, fellas. This is what I expect. All I can think of is these 16 110s. So I done got consumed by it, right? So here come the day to run 16 110s. About 30 minutes before we get ready to run 16, I said, Coach Johnson, look at him. Come in. Can I talk to you?
You've been thinking about this for a week?
No, for months. From the day he got here. And so I finally talked to Coach Johnson. I said, Coach, look at here. I said, man, look at me. I ain't never been able, never will be able to run those 16 110s. He looked at me. He said, Nate, tell you what, just don't stop running. Excuse me. He said, don't you stop running. Whatever you do, just keep running. He said, I know you may make one or two, but just keep running. I said, yes, sir. And so we out there. I make one, boom. I make two, boom. I barely make three. I'm bent over, doubled over. I look at Coach Johns. He did this. Just keep running. So I just kept running. And this dude falls out after about eight of them. This running back falls out over there on the side. And he's having an asthma attack. on about to have an asthma attack. So it was Jim Meyer, and it was, I can't think of, Kevin O'Neill. And Kevin O'Neill said, Coach, he's down, he's out. We think he's going to have an asthma attack. Coach Johns looked at us. He looked at the media. He told Coach Warchek, keep it going. Get this guy over there on the other field. That's how the asthma field. He said, take over on the other field. We are running 110s over here. And by that time, I'm coming down. He looked at me. Just keep going. So I hit the line and turned right back around. They escorted the dude off, never to be seen again. Here I am.
You just kept running.
I just kept running.
Forrest Gump.
Just keep running. And so that's our story for the day.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Way to kick the show off, man.
That's good. That's my feel.
And we're doing that because Jimmy's getting into the Ring of Honor at the game this weekend.
Yeah, when I see him, I say, you just keep running.
You just kept running, didn't you?
So that's a good story.
I'm assuming you'll be there this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely be there. Yes,
sir. A lot of the players.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Coach Campo was in here at the previous show.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So a lot of guys. I tell you what.
Oh, he came in to the... Never mind. The AARP show. This is the older show.
It is the older demographic show.
Well, he should have been on our show because we had an extra seat.
He would have loved our show.
He'd have loved our show.
Yeah,
yeah. Should have invited him to stay. I listened to Nick's show today. Good show. I like that show. Our fans. Chris, have you ever heard the Cowboys fans? Okay. Chris, is this show usually like that?
Today was exceptional.
Oh my God. They have all quit. They have given up. They are angry.
Yeah, it was a different show today.
They're one and done. And these are like some of the most positive people. And Nick was mad. He was firing back at them. He was going in.
And anyone so much defending the Cowboys is just defending the attitude that you should not have. You know what? I'll take that back. The fans, this is why I think, and Jesse, this is why I like you. If you don't never sugarcoat the obvious, it's all right to be hyped and to be excited about the Dallas Cowboys as a fan. But as media, quit sugarcoating a bad situation.
Yeah.
And that's where Jesse will be like, okay, we're going to give you the lowdown. That's where I'm going to be like, during the week, I'm going to give you what I see. Now, what you get from it is a different thing.
It's a one-point win on Friday. Yeah.
No. No. I've never, no matter how bad it gets, even our one in whatever years, I used to always thought we had a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a bad run defensive team, you're a bad run defensive team. If you're not a good player in these certain situations, you're not. And if you can improve – but you are who you are. And these people, for the first time, I'm listening to Nick's show too, like, these people, like, we've seen this before. Mm-hmm. We've been around this before. And
they're protecting themselves. They're protecting themselves from the letdown.
And in his show today, he kind of said what I've been trying to tell people. It's been 30 years almost since you've been to a Super Bowl. How do you preach Super Bowl to a team that has not sniffed a second round victory? So, but you continue to talk this and talk this and talk this, and you tell people how good your team is, but when can you prove it?
Mm.
Now, you have to prove it. Now, this team don't have to prove it to us, but they got to prove it to themselves. And in turn, we will, as fans, be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
But until they get to the second round and win, people gonna get on that train of win.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 30 years later, or almost 30 years later.
Win as in W-H-E-N? Like, when is it going to happen?
When is it going to happen? Or when are you going to win a game? W-I-N. A game
in the second round.
Until you do that, people don't want to hear it because you've. This is what hurts the most. You got blew out by Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And you got beat that up close game in Miami. The people are looking now, okay, if this thing avalanche and you lose to Detroit, okay, you on the road. What are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do? So fans, you got to give the fans the right type of hope. And the right type of hope is this is what you need to do. And it does not help when the 49ers sign another run-stopping defensive lineman. That does not help. Fans are out there. Like, we are a social media conglomerate. The Cowboys are big.
Okay. Conglomerate? Okay, let's go.
You know,
let's go.
So,
I got that off of
yeah. But anyway.
He pulled out demonstrative yesterday, conglomerate today. Yeah.
But no, I got that off of an old James Bond movie. But anyway.
You used it the right way.
But anyway, when you are big like that, our fans are big like that.
Mm-hmm.
X, Facebook, Jesse Holly Unfiltered, all of these things. I got my deal. Everybody got their deal. People are looking around and comparing. And you as a media person, I think me, Jesse, you, we have a responsibility. We all have a different way we talk our shows and all way we entertain. But you have a responsibility to as a segment, you are right here with the Cowboys. You do not have to, how would I put that? You don't have to stretch nothing. You're right here with the players. You know how they think. You have better intel than anybody. We are not Stephen A. We don't have to glamorize nothing. You are right here with the players. You get to see a lot of practices. So give them some type of closeness to the truth. That's the advantage I think we have.
Mm-hmm.
We, as players, we don't have to glamorize anything.
And you don't have to guess.
Yeah, we don't
you
have
know.
Yeah.
You go
we
have
know.
A conversation
so,
and you know.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So don't get up here and say, well, I think the Cowboys going to do this. You know.
Now,
you know.
I will say this.
You're right.
I think we do have to guess today what the hell's going on with the roster moves.
No, we don't.
Then tell us. Tell me. I know what they did, but why?
You want to tell us now or you want to wait till after
let's take a break. That was good stuff, yeah. Nate. I like when Nate starts the show with that.
Fire.
Yeah.
We need to open up with a great story.
Yes, and then great story and kept running.
There he is.
Yeah. Next, we'll see Storyline.
Fall is here, and that means football is back, bringing all the delicious game day foods with it. As you prep for all the big games, tailgates, and watch parties, let Yo Quiero be your one-stop destination for all things home gating. Yo Quiero's fresh, flavorful, ready-to-serve guacamole, made with real Hass avocados, will score taste bud touchdowns as you cheer on the Cowboys. Yo Quiero's wide range of mouth-watering and versatile products can be found in your local grocery store's produce or deli section. Grab some today.
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with pregame sideline access and photo ops with current players, cheerleaders, and Cowboy legends. You want to stay at a team hotel, attend the best tailgate party in Texas, tour the Star, and talk X's and O's with me, Everson Walls? With Star Sports Tours, you can. Visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today.
SeatGeek has your back no matter what kind of Cowboys fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't-really-care fan, a we-got-them-next-time fan or we'll-never-win-again fan, a here-for-the-tailgate fan or a first-one-through-the-gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier, too. So whether you're a here-every-week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great Dallas Cowboys seats.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection. And sauced and tossed in those 11 soul-satisfying flavors. Paired with hand-cut seasoned fries, house-made honey mustard, blue cheese, or signature Wingstop ranch. And, of course, spicy Cajun fried corn. I think you've heard enough. Get your flavor delivered at Wingstop.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Welcome back to the second segment of Hanging with the Boys, brought to you each and every day by blockchain.com. Thank you, blockchain.com. And we have a special guest.
I'm sitting, like, the fifth member of the show. I mean,
you actually are.
Kurt, when Kurt decides to play hooky, I'm in.
You are. You're in. You just got to get. Who texted you today?
Beam said they're talking. They're talking smack. You need to get in here. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that.
I did not say that.
He did not.
That's
say
a
that.
Way to get him down here real quick. That's a way to get him down here. Real quick.
Well, we know to get Patrick no seed on here.
How?
I did try to call.
Just
him.
Say we talking smack about him.
Yeah, he find out.
He'll run down here in a heartbeat, looking at Jesse, eyes locked in on Jesse
with his notes and his and his formulas.
Stop, y'all, because y'all know how he gets. Stop.
Welcome to the show, Nick Eatman, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up,
Cowboys storyline.
Are y'all being nice, or do I have to?
We were defending nice. You.
We ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
We were. Well, let's. Hang on, we'll get to that in a second. Tell us about the roster moves, Jess, and then you and Nick can discuss them. And I want to know what the hell's going on. I know what they did, but what's going on? Why are they doing this?
Well, that to me, it looks like the Cowboys understand that in order for them to win games, we have a much greater need at protecting our quarterback and having some protection in the offensive line than we do at linebacker.
What was the move today?
So today, the Cowboys, the practice window had opened up for Waletzko. Mm-hmm. And he's 21-day practice window, and it's nearing closing time. So you got to make a decision. Either he's going to stay on the IR for the rest of the year and he's done, or you elevate him to the roster. Well, when that happens, he don't have a roster spot. So somebody got to come up off a roster spot. And they decided to release linebacker Rashawn Evans in place of having Matt Waletzko having that roster spot. Now, the game is, this is the game within the game. Your hope is that the remaining teams that are looking at Rashawn Evans are saying, because teams that are out of it, right, that are mathematically eliminated, who don't have hope for the future, they ain't trying to sign guys.
Yeah,
they're now trying to look at, all right, how can we maintain or gain draft status, right? Can we lose some more games to get a higher draft pick to help us in the future?
They may be trying to sign guys, but not Rashawn Evans.
Not Rashawn Evans.
Like poach someone's practice
squad guy.
Right,
some younger guys who they can kind of have for the future, right, for future contracts. And then now it's the teams that kind of have a little bit of hope that are going to the playoffs that are saying, okay, maybe we meet, maybe we don't need. And the hope is that he passes through waivers, and now you're able to sign him back to your practice squad. And we've been discussing off air, and you said you already checked on it.
Well,
because he's had already, Rashawn Evans has already done his three elevations from the practice squad. Now,
elevation from practice squad to the active roster.
You get back down.
You get three
without
times. Without going through the waiver. So now we're trying to figure out, is there a level of, does the elevations reset?
After he gets cut.
After he gets cut, clears waivers, and he comes back.
I asked this question about, I forgot which player it was that they did it three times to, and it was told no, he does not reset. Because you could just do that all day long. Because the advantage is that you don't, like who's the running? Malik Davis. Malik Davis. Like, you bring Malik Davis up. A lot of people said, why not just make Deuce Vaughn active if he's on your team? But he doesn't count because you got to have so many inactive players.
Right.
So it makes sense to bring the practice squad guy up because you have an elevation. That's part of the rules. But I don't think you can just keep cutting a player, resetting him, and then start it over again. I mean, that would be manipulating the rules. I don't think you can do that. I did ask. I forgot which player it was.
And when you look at it, honestly, like, they haven't really used Rashawn Evans.
Yeah.
Right? Like, whether you believe he should be used or he hasn't been used. He's here for depth, and this is the one position that you don't have much depth. But they probably believe, hey, if push comes to shove, we'll sign another guy off the street, and he's giving us the same productivity that Rashawn Evans has given us. You know, hell, Rolando McClain's out there. You know, I'm just saying.
I got the answer.
Okay, let's go.
No, he does not have any more elevations until the playoffs.
Ah.
All right, I did the same thing. So that makes a little bit more sense of why you would do that and why you could possibly bring him back is to reset it. And that's maybe why they cut him. You know, I mean, now he was on the team. I guess they needed Willetsko. I don't know.
But that also speaks to the same tone of, okay, you bringing in Matt Willetsko, who is an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Yes.
What does that tell you about your confidence in Tyron's back, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the offensive lineman here, but if Willetsko has to come in and play, I mean, for Tyron, you're probably already in trouble, right?
Right.
Is he better than Awesome?
Idaga. Awesome.
I think if Aiden Hutchinson lines up on the outside, though, I would go with the technique of blocking him. Like, instead of like, hey, you're the best rusher, we're not going to block you and see what you can do. Yeah. You know, this isn't. I don't know what was going on with
that. Which, by the way, we haven't gotten into the defense of the Detroit Lions and the Cowboys offense. I'm not as big on Aiden Hutchinson as others are. I think he's a decent player, but I'm not like when you play against Nick, like he Aiden Hutchinson, one of those Michigan guys. Aiden Hutchinson, he doesn't put fear in my heart like the other pass rushers.
Like he did last year. Last year he was off the map.
Yeah, I think that was kind of just him.
And
being,
now he has film.
It's film.
And people are figuring him out a little bit, but he's still an all day pressure guy.
He's an energy guy.
Yeah,
he's an energy and effort guy. They have a lot of those defensively.
Should they block him?
Oh yeah, they should block him. They should block. Yeah.
Well, I'm not over that yet.
What happened there?
Should block me if I'm out there.
But see what you got to understand is they, Coach Vic, confused our tackles, where he put a guy in that gap between the guard and center, and he would fake him in and out of there, and at the last moment, he was timed to snap perfect, but he would be 5 yards back. If he's 5 yards back, you stay on your guy.
Yeah.
Your running back still got a chance, or your quarterback still got a chance to read the hot. Now, if he's in the line on the snap, then you got to come down as a tackle and squeeze that, you know.
Yeah.
And now your quarterback still has to say hot with your receiver, or the back can do the best he can. But you can't be in limbo where you miss both guys and this big old guy running free because your back don't know what to do now. And your quarterback like, oh, my God, what's happening?
Yeah.
So you messed it up. Another blueprint for Coach Fangio. Is it Vic?
Yeah, Vic Fangio.
So
can Dan Quinn do that move where he gets Parsons free?
What we have to do.
No, people, Ali looks at people from the offensive line and go, oh, there's number 11. We're going to block him
first.
We'll take our chances with the rest of the guys, but we know number 11. We're going to put a hand on him.
At least try.
The answer, is simply this. If you want to free, big fella, if you want to free number 11, you got to get a five-man rush. Remember the Super Bowl and Aaron Donald? They was like, where's Aaron Donald? Oh, in the first half, they was turning protection to him, just double triple teaming. But in the third and fourth quarter, they said, you know what? We just going to five-man line. We're going to cover every guy on the offensive line. Let's see what you do with our big stud. At some point, they have to have a five-man rush. You're already single high. You're already playing man-to-man. Put an extra lineman up there, and let's see what you can do.
And I think the corners are good enough to do that, or like hold for a little bit.
Yes.
And that's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that? Because it seems like
– you can't do it every snap, but you can do it enough to free him up.
Why couldn't you do it every snap? I mean, what would they just hot route you or what?
Well, the thing about it, you know, first and 10, second and 5, you may want to run.
Yeah.
And we've had the one game where we did well last week, but you get some games where we haven't done well
this team can run, man.
Because that's the one thing that when you start talking about five man rushes, right? That's basically you're saying you're five for my five.
Right. That's right.
Right. And then now that then lends that if one of these guys don't get home and that running back gets through,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but because there
you don't think Clark will get him? Clark might be getting blocked.
He might run in the back of somebody else, and you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So that's the thing. It's like when you start adding that fifth man to the count, because all offensive linemen going to do when you see. Okay, let's kind of go through this thing. Let's kind of walk the fans through this. Before that gets to the here we go, he comes to the line of scrimmage and he says, 55 the mic. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right?
And what does that mean?
I'm going to, if you just give me.
I'm sorry.
We're going to get there.
He's just being a fan.
We're going to get there.
It's okay. You a fan.
I'm trying to learn.
Yeah. Dak comes and he goes, 55 the mic. Four down linemen. The offensive linemen go, we got these four. And when Dak goes 55 the mic, 62 is the mic. 50, whoever he IDs as the mic, that is the fifth guy.
And that's who we got.
So now, that's who the offensive line has. If he inserts himself, they sort that out between those five. You see, they pointing around, they doing this and that. Hey, you
hitting legs.
Yeah, hitting legs and all that. They going, you got here. So they know if he comes, I got him. If he doesn't come, now you'll see that.
You're the worst.
Yeah,
you're
man. Golly, I'm just glad you didn't pause. Man, I'm just. If he doesn't insert himself into the line of scrimmage, now it's when you see that offensive lineman go and look for work, right? He'll go and hit somebody else. He'll go find some other work. When you now add that fifth guy into the box, you now have to have two receivers, two, depending on what they are as far as formation, so two or three DBs, and now that leaves two safeties and one linebacker. And now you always say, you'll hear a running back coach say, all right, listen, they got these guys. You got to make him miss. This is your guy. So now if the running back gets through there and that linebacker isn't a sure tackler, because remember, the DBs and the safety, they're playing man coverage. So their backs are turned and they're going down the football field. You make that linebacker miss. This is why you can't do it all the time, because you make him miss. Their backs are turned and they're on the outside.
That's a guaranteed 20 yards. That's a guaranteed 20 yards.
And you're talking about a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs or Montgomery. Yeah. They get to the second level and Clark
Bell.
J-Ron or Bell or one of those guys, they don't make that tackle.
Yeah.
He's going to hit his head on the goalpost.
Adios.
So this is why you got to mix it up a little bit and that's the breakdown of why you see and when you start putting on all that kind of nonsense.
Makes sense.
And what kills you is if they got them five guys and they say, you know what, forget the linebacker, and they bring in a down lineman. And that's where it can get ugly. That's where our left tackle, if it's not Tyron Smith, can get exposed. And that's where our center would definitely get exposed because they have two big old mats. Number 96, Isaiah Bugs, that's a big old man. And Benito Jones, those are big old men with big old butts, and they love to get their hands inside and just press.
We call those the Shannon Gross specials.
Yes.
Big black
big old
men.
Big black men. You got to wonder.
I'm just going
to
Welcome to the show.
Pause.
And so the thing that's amazing about this, since we're talking about their defense, they only give up 3.7 yards a rush. The inside of the defense is strong. They got just good run-stopping guys. The guy that Jesse said that he's not high on, he's a motor guy. He plays his gaps.
Where'd Bugs go to school? Alabama? Is that
– you know.
I don't know.
He's a free agent for San Francisco.
Oh, I don't remember. Him.
Yeah. He's a free agent for San Francisco, I think. The thing that makes Detroit special, they only have 10 interceptions. They only have 6 fumble recoveries. What makes them special is third downs they get off the field. 37%. They're only giving up 37% out of 175 third downs. They've only given up 66. These people do not play on third downs. What that tells me is they will put you behind the chains one way or another. They will put you behind the chains and they can get off the field.
They only have 10 interceptions?
Yeah, I think.
God, well, because they got 3 last week against Mullins.
I think, look it up.
Yeah, no, but that's not wrong. I mean, Mullins gave him a lot of gifts this week.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but They're only giving up 23 points a game. They good, man. They just like their coach. They're tough. Dan Campbell wasn't over talented. This team is not over talented, but they play their gaps. They're disciplining what they do. They got a nice safety in Kirby Joseph in number six. I can't even pronounce his name.
Yeah, Fondnu.
They tackle pretty well.
They do tackle well.
They'll come down in the box, and they won't show up in the box early. It'll be like your boy.
I'm sure a lot of people ask this about the Cowboys and the Cardinals. I mean, how did the Bears kick their ass like 2 weeks ago?
Those are the games that we sit up and say, wow, how did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, it happens to every team.
It happens to every team.
For the most part.
How Arizona kick our butts.
That's what I just said. Yeah.
Week 14, Bears got them 28-13 in week 14. But their other losses is against Green Bay, their nemesis, 22-12. That's in week 12. And the other loss, two losses were against decent teams, the Seahawks. And, boy, Baltimore beat them down. Yeah. But
here's the thing that to answer your question, Bugs went to community college, then went to Alabama.
Oh, okay. He's from Alabama. My neck of the woods, Ruston, Louisiana.
Is he?
How about that?
Old country boy.
Yeah. Old country boy.
Yeah. You think he moved big around 17 times?
Yeah. Probably not. Maybe.
Big Bugs. But here's when you look at the Chicago game and other games like that, the one area that they struggle in is with Aaron Glenn, who's their defensive coordinator. One of the things that they like to do is they play like the Cowboys. They play a lot of single high safety, man-to-man. They'll play some cover six. That means two on one side, four on the other side. They try to do, because they'll have number six down in the box, and they'll try to invert him back. They try to play these games pre and post snaps. The problem is that their communication at times are off. When you start giving them three receiver looks, four receiver looks, and you start to kind of interchange and cross, they start letting guys go free. And you saw a lot of that in the Chicago game. You saw a lot of that in the Minnesota game, where guys are running open because they're in their coverage and their post-snap shifting to their next coverage. Guys aren't communicating the next move properly. And when you're talking about playing single high or man-to-man, those type of situations, well, I'm already up close. So if I'm off, I'm leaving the guy wide open.
Yeah.
And Nick Mullins was able to find guys last week, and that's what happened in that Chicago game. They let a lot of people run free. The middle of the field is available because that safety is getting the hell out of there. He understands I'm the last resort. I'm the deepest of the deepest. And so that middle of the field is open, and they're letting guys run free. And when you have a guy like Fields, it's a la to what Lamar Jackson is. You have to play defense twice.
Right?
You got to play the initial hut defense, and then with their scrambling ability, you have to play defense again. And so with teams like that, because they're another team, this goes back to what you mentioned earlier, inserting that fifth guy. They bring linebackers. They bring safeties. So when those guys either don't get home or get blocked, the defenders on the back end are anticipating something to happen up front. And when you have a scrambling quarterback like Justin Fields and Lamar Jackson, who can see that blitz coming, see it coming from the left, see it opening on the right, get through there, it's open space.
Yeah.
And now when the other defenders are coming up, they're throwing balls behind them. And that's how it can get confusing for this defense. But they want to hurry you. It's everybody on this. This must be a prerequisite for playing defense or playing football on the defense side for Dan Campbell. You will be physical, you will have effort, and you will tackle.
Yeah, you will tackle.
You will tackle. These guys, from safety to corner to linebacker to defensive ends and tackles, everybody gets to the football and they tackle with a level of aggression. But they do let a lot of guys run free.
All right, let's take our last break. When we come back,
Nui will show up.
Knew he'll be here in like 2 minutes pointing at the clock.
Right.
So, but anyway, we'll be right back with more football. And why is Nick so angry on Hanging with the Boys?
Storyline.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap at the Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection. And sauced and tossed in those 11 soul-satisfying flavors. Paired with hand-cut seasoned fries, house-made honey mustard, blue cheese, or signature Wingstop ranch. And, of course, spicy Cajun fried corn. I think you've heard enough. Get your flavor delivered at Wingstop.com.
SeatGeek has your back, no matter what kind of Cowboys fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't-really-care fan, a we-got-em-next-time fan or we'll-never-win-again fan, a here-for-the-tailgate fan or a first-one-through-the-gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier, too. So whether you're a here-every-week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great Dallas Cowboys seats.
James Wright here, your 2022 Dallas Cowboys fan of the year. You know how much I love my Cowboys, and I am thrilled to be talking to you about the 2023 Fan of the Year Award presented by Captain Morgan. We're looking for the ultimate Cowboys fan to spice up the game. That means you eat, sleep, and breathe the Dallas Cowboys. If that's you, or if you know someone like me, then go to DallasCowboys.com/Fan of the Year and you could win tickets to Super Bowl 58 and so much more. Enter today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of Hanging with the Boys, brought to you each and every day by Jigsaw, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. So, Nick, we were talking right before you got here that you had a little fire and a little – you had a fire in your belly today. You were a little aggressive with your callers. Are you fed up with our fan base?
What's going on here?
You know?
Hello? Jesse hit the thing with something under
wasn't,
the table.
No, I'm not fed up with the callers.
Before you get into this, let me ask a question. When you get into your fired up mode, you don't have to say it on this show, but what's your go-to cuss word?
You act like there's one.
What's your combination?
It's fine. Chris's kids are back there, but they have headphones in.
No, I'm good. They're all on the table. I'm sorry.
Depending on the situation.
They're all on the table.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm not. And it's not good because I have a 3-year-old that.
You know how Nick's mad? He gets real antsy and he'll grab his mouth and he'll go, you know what? And
as soon as he says, you know what?
That's coming. That's nuclear mode.
And when the callers are going like they were today, and I'm just like.
Yeah, and your face,
the one that got me today.
Kind of red right now. Just thinking about it.
He's thinking about it.
Yeah, what got you going today?
Yeah.
Because I listened to the show. I tried to call in.
I would have appreciated that.
I was going to lighten it up. I was just going to say, what's your favorite road game?
Here's what I always say, though, too. Like, my opinion is not, your opinion, when the caller comes in, your opinion is not wrong. Your opinion is your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not here to argue with you. But the one that's got me a few times is like the Dak looks like he has a deer in headlights, or they don't have the game face on. And I'm like, what the hell is a game face? And how would you know when you're out of the country or when you're in Seattle and you're watching it on TV? I mean, other than the defensive tackle that went up against you, he could maybe see what your game face is. But game face is so stupid. I mean, Eli Manning's about to go in the Hall of Fame, and he had the dumbest-looking face of all time. But, I mean, who cares?
Well, your game face during a game is going to be the narrative they're telling you on TV, and that's when they're going to show your face. If you're sad, they want the sad narrative. If you're fired up, they want – you know.
You're right.
So I don't understand that. I you know, whatever it is, I think that the Cowboys – I mean, I don't think they lost because they didn't have the right face. I think they, you know, face mask. I mean, maybe Damone, but I mean, but yeah. And so it's just another thing too is
what's your game face?
What are we playing?
Sorry.
This is it right here. This
a you know,
that's on the right show.
He didn't say O face. He said
I just want to say this. Damone Clark, 3 weeks in a row, my friend, your name has not come up in great things. Change the narrative.
Right.
Please.
Him and 54.
Yeah, their names are not coming up in the right ways. Change the narrative,
man. At some point in time, we have to start just believing what's out there.
Yeah.
Right? Like we can make up all these different things, but at some point in time,
right,
you got to just go, well, that's who they are. Like, you got to just start believing that at some point in time.
And I don't know if I have a great confidence. I mean, I said it, I don't have great confidence they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I've never seen that. And I've been here a long time. This is my 25th season. I've never seen that happen. So I don't have the confidence of that. And now they got to beat San Francisco, and they're not better than San Francisco. So that seems like a problem. But I do think they're good enough to get in the tournament, to get in there, play well. We talked about moral victories came up today. Am I a believer of it? Oh, that was on the radio on the Fan. Right. They asked me about it. I was like, yeah, Nate's probably listening. But I don't view that. The moral victories are certainly done. I mean, you're done with that because the Philly one sort of was, and they won five in a row. They took good things from it.
Right.
But I don't know what you take from this. Like, at some point, the moral victory has to lead you to real victories. And so you are going to enter the playoffs without a signature road win. You will not have one.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't have a winning record. They have to figure out themselves how to get enough confidence. And they did it last year in Tampa. They limped into the playoffs, and they destroyed Tampa. But the confidence, I don't have a lot of confidence. The fans are wavering. But does Mike have the ability to get them confident? And that's what you guys, as players, you've been in some 2-3-game losing streaks. How do you turn it around? How do you prove – how did you beat Philly – after you lost with 11 sack game in 1991, 24-0.
Your fault. Yeah,
okay.
It was.
But y'all came back and you beat Philly later that season. I mean, obviously it was talked about, written about all week long. You did something to get that and say, that was not us. We can do it this time.
Yeah, along with the great coaching and players believing and trying to execute. We just turned the execution around.
Yeah.
That 2.1 release that Tua had, our quarterback had that same release, you know, but he had more incompletions than what Tua had.
He didn't have Tyreek Hill either. I mean, I'm sorry, yeah. Kelvin Martin wasn't exactly.
Yeah, but Kelvin Martin broke that game over with 87-yard punt return.
He won the game. Yeah, 85.
The thing is, we were up and coming. Kind of like Dan Campbell's team. You're up and coming, and all you need is just that one play. But you got to believe that you can make that play. This team has not made that play this year. You know, I said it yesterday and I said it again. With everything that happened, with 3 minutes and 27 seconds left in the game, you were winning. Mm-hmm. That was the chance for somebody on the defense to make that play. And no one made that play. Somebody got to make that play.
They asked me, a social media group asked me, who's the player of the game? It was 3 minutes to go. They just took the lead. They only do it on wins. So it hadn't come up until right then, like, who's going to be the player of the game? And I said, Micah. And I'm like, Micah, was he done? I was like, well, if they're not going to win unless he does what he did against Seattle.
That's right.
Yeah, close the door.
They're going to only win this game if he does that.
Yes.
They're not, and he will be player of the game if they win. And they didn't because he did. I mean, you know, he didn't make that play, but you're right. I mean, it really hasn't happened. And there hadn't been a lot of games like that. Gilmore did it against the Chargers with an interception. That Micah made the sack.
Yeah.
So, I didn't even think about it like that. Yeah,
he made
Micah,
the sack. Yeah.
Micah closed the door, and he just.
And he got a pressure for that next pass to be sure.
Yeah, he did.
You have to, and that's what, you fight in these games, especially on the road. You fight in these games because, number one, you're saying your quarterback, we can give him that ball. On the last series, we've seen the serial killer do it forever and ever in Green Bay. You know, we've seen that guy do it every year that he played in Green Bay. 3 minutes was 3 minutes too long. We gave it to Dak. No, we gave it to Dak. we gave it to him too early. If we could have gave it to him with those 3 minutes and 27 seconds, us down by 1 point.
But see, that goes into the next narrative that we have to have at times, because when you're looking at – I remember when I left Dallas and I ended up in New England.
Right.
And in the process of what we were doing in the offseason, we were watching film, they were breaking down film. And it was that year that we played up in New England and we scored. But we left a little bit too much time left on the clock. And then Tampa went but Tom Brady went down. Aaron Hernandez back in the end zone. Remember, he opens the safe, takes the money out, kind of, you know, he does that thing. He does that.
Right.
And I'm sitting in there and I'm watching from now the Patriots' perspective, and they're talking about how two series before they actually got the ball back, they were planning to get the ball back. And they were saying, all right, this is how we're going to break down. If they do this, we do this, and then they get the ball back to us, we're going to go down there and score and leave them no time left.
You talking about the Patriots, the 2011 game?
Yes.
I want to add to that, but I don't want to cut you off. Sorry.
But I'm sitting there and I'm watching them call play. Like, I'm watching, again, from the Patriots side, knowing what we was taught and told on the Dallas side. I'm watching them walk through this and break this stuff down. And I'm like, and then I go and I say, when Dallas, they're the details. When they get the ball, right, their only thought process, we have to score now. Instead of being methodical in how they do it, chewing some clock up,
instead
eating some
saying,
clock
we're
up.
We're going to score. It's just when do we want to score?
Yeah. Let's not leave them a whole bunch of
and
time.
That's that confidence thing, right?
Right? And then what happens? Miami gets the ball back, 3:27, and they said, we're going to score.
And leave no time on the clock.
On the clock. And so it's those small things that has been a narrative for Mike McCarthy. It's been, when it comes to the details of things, can you do it when you're supposed to do it? And it's cost the Cowboys
some games. Let me add to that story. And Skandrick, you know, whatever, he might be salty about this, but he's always salty.
Yes,
Skandrick, after the game, Skandrick's job is the slot corner, go up against Wes Welker. That's the game. Like, all week long, Skandrick versus Wes Welker. And after that drive, the game was over, and Skandrick was pretty proud of himself. He said, what did Welker have? 6 catches, 45 yards? yeah, Skandrick. 4 for 40 on that last drive. Hey, you had him at 2 for 10 or whatever. And on that last drive that you said they were plotting the whole game, Welker for 9, Welker for 12, Welker for 11, you know. So it's like, you know, it's like Steph Curry said, only missed 4 shots. Yeah, they're all in overtime. Yeah.
We were going up to play the 49ers in that game. The Mud Bowl or whatever they wanted to call it. Yeah, and Jimmy just told us, fellas, no mistakes. We can beat this team. Nobody had us. You know, that's Chris Berman's team, the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And so the rest of the media fell in line with him. It's no way the Cowboys are a year early. And Jimmy, like, we got these guys. Just don't make that mistake. We going to make the play at the end to win the game. Alvin, get over here. I got the route. Get over here. Alvin looked like, okay. He looks, you know, Troy looked,
I never understood that. Did Michael not think that the reason why that he was always doubled on this was because it was Michael Irvin, not because it was
the route?
That wasn't the route.
But the thing about it, he figured with the look, the formation, that they wouldn't be able to do it. But he underestimated Coach Seifert and how smart his staff was.
Hey, I've been a fan for 45 years, I can remember. Absolutely my favorite play in the history of the Dallas Cowboys is that one.
Yeah.
Or Alvin Harper, 70 yards slant. Wasn't even a touchdown.
No.
That is the most memorable play for me. It was like, because it was all there. The crowd, here come the Niners, here they come. Are they going to run the ball? Are they going to be conservative? And they threw a slant.
You know what I remember? And this is how I know you can help your teammates. When Troy said, fellas, I need y'all to hold in there. I need for y'all to hold in there. You can talk to your teammates. When you have a Sam Williams or
You can talk to the guys.
See, the one thing, and we'll get out of here on this, the one thing that I
or will we? You know, when Barry Church shows up on time and early, he expects the show before him just to stop and everybody leave.
It's 10 minutes.
He can wait. He's usually.
You just said three minutes was an eternity for Tua to go down the field. they can do that and come back three times.
But it's when you talk about your teams and you talk about today's level of football and football players, there is a level of accountability that when you talk about Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman, that I don't know that it's held to the same level of standards here. And it's not just the Cowboys. I'm speaking
around the league.
Around the league, just the way players have changed, right? Like there is more of a it's about me and what I want to do and how I want to get off than it is about what can
you
I do
off?
What can I do for the we of I know what I can do for the we of the group. Okay. And there's a being a level of sacrifice. Okay. And I think you guys kind of understood that, right? You talked about it earlier in the studio. Michael Irvin came in and said, hey, coach, here go a list of guys that should no longer be on this football team. Right? And Jimmy said, okay.
And got Michael, rid of him. And Jimmy never said, but what's his cap number?
Right.
Didn't care.
Right.
Now it's like, get out of here.
And that's part of the dynamic that I think a lot of times are missing where the whole of the team, it can be brought down by a guy or two guys who are like, I'm gonna do my own thing, I'm gonna do it this way, and I ain't really giving up what I need to give up for the betterment of the group. And I think that's gonna ultimately be the demise of the Cowboys this year.
Good stuff, fellas. Jesse, thank you. Nate, thanks. Nick, you always have a seat at the table when there's an open chair. And if you want to stand, we can pull out the extra mic. Chris, thanks for keeping us on the air.
I'm about to horse call him and Kurt and put him to the ground.
There you go. Do it.
No, I can't let you do that. That's my guy, too.
My boy. I'm kidding. It's
Jazz,
my guy.
Thanks for keeping Chris company. What's my man's name?
The fan.
Josh.
Josh.
Storyline.
I actually forgot
his name is Storyline. His name is Storyline.
Nui, Barry, sorry y'all had to wait today. We actually went over for once.
Come on in, Nui. Come on in, Barry.
Today. We got one of the bosses in here. Well, I'm not worried about
it.
We'll see y'all
tomorrow. Same time, same place. Cowboys defense. Detroit's offense.
We out.
Just say bye.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?